Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, bow to me. Jesus says, love me. Jesus says, know me, and you'll be set free. It's remarkable.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, everybody, something that you should know, that in our church and in our media community, in the social media community, we have for decades as a church started every year off with the reading of the one-year Bible all the way through. So I'm encouraging you to join us and do the same. If you are not one of the tens of thousands of people that are actually on the same page with me, with my wife Lisa, with the church and beyond, the entire Real Life audience and beyond, get a copy of the one-year Bible and get started with us on January 1st. You can get a copy for yourself at jackhibbs.com, but by all means, please do this. And listen, get one for your friends or maybe a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad. The one-year Bible, through the Bible in 1 year together. Join us.
That's the one-year Bible, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. Today's message, The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter's writing to Corinthians who were learning how to live out their faith under incredible opposition. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? You see, as we reach the end of chapter 2, we see how Peter changes his focus to how we're called to obey Christ. In humbleness, we're to submit to those God has put over us, leaders who are therefore our learning, knowing that those who rule over us are in God's hands and not our own. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we are to follow Christ, of course, but this also holds true in his suffering. We can be in the middle of God's perfect will, loved by him with an infinite love, and yet be suffering greatly in a Christ-rejecting world. Now, with his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
How can you and I show a witness for Jesus Christ in the world that you and I live in when we go to work? As a believer, I'm a strong believer in what I'm about to say. I lived this and I live it now. It's a big deal. For me, this is one of those hills to die on. As a Christian, when the Bible says servants, slaves, be submissive to your masters, or employees, be submissive to your employer, I believe that I should be able to walk through an office or a construction site or whatever it might be, and I should be able, without a word, I should be able to watch the employees. It might take a day, it might take a week, it could take a month, but I firmly believe this, that I would be able to pick out who the Christians are in those companies. I believe it. I so believe that. Why? Because the Christian doesn't work for the employer. The Christian works for God. The employer is simply the one who watches my witness. Watch this. He, she, they are watching my witness as I walk before my God in their public world. Hey, they got a front row seat to me loving on God. Listen, don't raise your hand, but are you employed? If you have a job, that is your mission field. Well, Pastor, you don't know the bozo I work for. That bozo you work for has been ordained by God, if you work there, to be the person to whom you are to be shining your light upon. You say, no, I think I got the job by accident. I don't care how you got the job. Are you not there now? Will you not be there tomorrow? Then you're there for God. And you live for his glory. And God will bless you. Listen, don't tell anybody. This is very personal. Many, many years ago, Lisa and I started having babies, and we didn't have any benefits. And so I went and applied at a job for a big global corporation because they had great benefits. So I went and I applied for the job. I think I was like 21 years old. And it was this, whatever the job was, and I interviewed, and I got it. And they said, okay, show up in 2 weeks. And so I show up, and they said, you know what, we gave your job to somebody else. And I'm thinking, this is great. Now I don't have a job. I quit my job to come to this job. And they said, no, I'm sorry. No, we gave your job away because we think that you'd be better doing this other thing. I was completely shocked. So they drove me over to another location, and you guys, I wish you could have been there. They take me into this place, they open up the door, and have you ever seen like Frankenstein movies? It looked just like that. There were electrodes and glass vases, and there were all of these equipment and scientific stuff, and there were tubes and things. And I'm looking, and they go, yeah, we're going to have you work here. I was not qualified. I was terrified. and I didn't know what to do. And I said, oh, God, you got to help me. And I wound up doing it for the Lord because I was absolutely unable to do it for anybody else. God blessed it. God raised me up. And then by the time I left there, I'm supervising this research laboratory with people with degrees from Johns Hopkins University and Northwestern University. And HR said, Jack, you can't tell anybody that you don't have those degrees. They think you do. Just shut up and do the job. And that's our secret. I'm serious. That's why I just said a moment ago, don't tell anybody. And I was there 13 years and I wound up resigning because this church got too big and I had to do this full time instead. My point is this. When you don't know what to do, do it for God. When everybody's looking, do it for God. When nobody's looking, do it for God at all times. And God will honor, God will bless. Listen, the world offers you freedom. It's bondage. The greatest way to be free is to do and live whatever you do under the slavery of your master, Jesus. For those of you who are not Christians right now, you're saying, this is weird, man, this is nuts. Well, listen, we want to be the first ones to announce to you, your master is brutal. You are a slave. See, we're slaves and we happily confess it. Because our master is Jesus. He's awesome. He loves us. He's with us. He leads us. We delight. The word is bondservants. When we were given our freedom, we turned right around and handed it back to him and said, Lord, you bought me. You paid for me. You created me. I'm yours. The greatest way to live free is to live in a sense of slavery to Christ. What he says, what he wants, is what it is. Now, the world will say, you guys are nuts. You're like a bunch of lemmings running off a cliff. No, we're not. We would like to remind you that our God is the God that created our brains. It's our God who made us who we are. And it's our God who has redeemed us. One of the things, as we read this, is to watch out for when it says that not only are we to be submissive to good and gentle bosses, but also harsh bosses, mean bosses. Why? You may very well have that job, Christian, because that harsh, mean boss may never read a Bible, but they're reading you. And I really believe this. Pray that God would open up the door that you might be able to share with them. I think I told you guys years ago, I'll say it again, in that corporation I worked for, the front office, big corner office, there's all the flooring and the tile and whatever. And then you go to you see the boss's office. This is one of the regional presidents, and the office is huge, seriously huge. But you got to get through a secretary, and then the carpet in his office is really thick. It's like you're walking into the Holy of Holies. Well, one day his secretary wasn't there. She wasn't guarding the door. His door was open, and I saw him. He's sitting at his desk. And I really felt the Lord say, I mean, I didn't hear God say, I just kind of thought, God, man, the thought entered my mind and it wasn't my kind of thinking. And it was this, go tell him I love him. Wow. I walked in there and I said, "Excuse me, sir." And he said, "Yes." I said, "I believe God just laid it on my heart to say to you that he loves you. And that Jesus died for my sins." And he said, "Do you go to church?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." "Where do you go to church?" "I go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa." "What service do you attend?" I said, "Well, first, and then I usher at second." And he goes, "Oh, I haven't seen you. I go to second service." The world would bind you and I up to not speak. The world would proclaim freedom, but not free to do the things of God. Slavery to Jesus is free to do the will of God. Verse 19 goes on here, "For this is commendable. If because," he says, "of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully," the Christian is going to be mocked, made fun of. He says in verse 24, "What credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults?" In other words, you do something wrong, you're going to get beat. He's talking to slaves. Slaves, you do something wrong, you're going to get beat. Well, what about employer-employee relationships? Employees, you do something wrong, you're going to get fired. You could be reprimanded. You could lose pay, whatever it is. The Bible says if you do something dumb, then take it like a man, take it like a trooper. Don't whine about it because you goofed up. But listen to this. He says, "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." Christian, have you ever been mocked, made fun of, ridiculed, marginalized because you're doing the right thing? That is a badge of honor, Christian. I bumped into a high school math teacher that goes to this church the other day at Albertson's Supermarket. Our paths crossed. He said, "Pastor Jack, hi, I'd like to introduce myself." We met for a moment, and he began to share with me about being a high school math teacher and being a Christian. And I was impressed. He's standing for what's right. And I said, "You do know that you'll be brought under attack for your good witness." He understands that. And you and I live in an age where we need to lovingly stand up and be counted in this day and age. By the way, tens of thousands of people in the state of California rose up and made their voices clear about AB 2943, and the author pulled the bill miraculously, on the day that it was to be approved, the author pulled the bill. Now, granted, he's going to come back. He's going to come back in 2019. He said he's going to come back with it, but you know what? Listen, he told someone else in Sacramento, who we know, that the opposition was too great. Ladies and gentlemen, you stood for righteousness. And I made a comment about that because it was going to outlaw licensed counselors and possible pastors from reaching out or being available to the LGBTQ community. And it was a day of freedom for them. Think of it. Last Friday, they still now have the right to talk to any pastor or any counselor they want to without government interference. And I think that's a great thing. People should have the freedom to talk or not to talk to anybody they so choose. But you take a stand, the world is going to see it, and they're going to say things about you. They're going to attack you. That's okay.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
There's a freedom the world offers in its bondage. Didn't Satan offer to Eve freedom? When he came and said to her, "Hey, Eve, has God said?" First word out of Satan's mouth was to cast a doubt against God's word. And then he challenges God's goodness. "Oh, Eve, God knows the day that you eat of this fruit, he doesn't want you to be just like him, because the day you eat of it, you'll be like a god. So why don't you be like a god and eat it?" He promised her freedom. The world cannot fulfill its promise on freedom. We already know this. Jesus says, "Come to me." Jesus says, bow to me. Jesus says, love me. Jesus says, know me, and you'll be set free. It's remarkable. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, that there's a way that is self-counsel, self-advice, that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. Be very careful about that. So the second thing we see in verses 21 to 23 is that Jesus liberates the way of the captive by liberating us from so-called justice. He says in verse 21, for to this you were called. Can you please mark that down? Those of you who raised your hands as a Christian would acknowledge publicly you're a Christian. The Bible here says, for to this you were called. You need to circle the word called because this is quite remarkable. What are we called to? See, what's God's will for my life? Well, here it is. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you, that is you and I, should follow in his steps. Can you all look at that verse for a moment? Watch this. Jesus has given us an example. Look at your Bibles. What is it saying? What's the example? That Jesus suffered is what we're going to be learning. He suffered, and he calls us. Jesus doesn't necessarily write it in the sky, hey, join my team, you'll get your front teeth knocked out. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, join my team. It's absolutely opposite of this world. Receive my life, I give you. By the way, the world around you will not understand that life and they'll seek to put it to death. Except, listen, my freedom. The world's going to see you as some knuckle-dragging Neanderthal believer. They can't understand the things of the Spirit. So what he's saying right here is quite remarkable. The Bible is announcing that we've been called to be an example to the world, because why? How? We've looked to Jesus as believers. We've seen him as our example as recorded in the Gospels. We turn around as believers and we live like Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means that we're going to be hated in a world that doesn't recognize Jesus. It means that we're going to be rejected. The word right here, I think you'll find it somewhat entertaining in some way and also deep. It's profound. The word example here is the word hupogrammos. And you say, well, what does that mean? It means to be, listen, an underwriter. Not an underwriter like an insurance situation. It means to be a copier. It means to be a student that begins their education by tracing. You know tracing, remember? Tracing. By copying. Underwriting. The word means to write on top of something that's already been written because you don't know how to write it on your own. Let me show you this example. All of us, by the way, recognize this. We all grew up in school having these things. And this thing on the screen that should be on the screen, right there. You recognize that? This is that Greek word. This has been around for thousands of years. And you see, for example, see A, and you see the little star. That's where you're supposed to put your pencil. Your number two pencil, if you remember. And you are to go down, and you are to follow A, B, C, until you get it right, until you get it into your own thinking. Are you with me? You trace. You don't make it up. You don't re-engineer it. You don't redesign it. You copy it. The Bible says that very word, that how you learned how to write and print, is exactly the same word that when it comes to Jesus, it means to copy his example. What does that mean? What is his example? And of course, God expected us to ask that question. It says in verse 22, who committed no sin. So number one, Jesus was sinless. So he's our standard. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, that's Jesus, when he was reviled. When Jesus was cursed, mocked, made fun of, evil things said about him. Rejected. Rejection. That's one of the most profound pains people struggle with. By the way, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, make sure that you stand always for the little ones in your life, for truth, and to lead them in the right direction, teach them, instruct them, always, of course, with love. Be very careful to never give them the sense of rejection. Even as they grow older, you'll always be the mom or the dad, no matter how old you get or how old they get. If they're doing something wrong, they should know that you love them. And you can correct them, or you can say, I don't agree with what you're doing, or I don't agree with what you've chosen. It's wrong. But they know that you love them and that you're not rejecting them. You understand that? We can reject the evil of the world, yes. But when it comes to those around us, to those whom we point to Jesus Christ, they should never sense or feel rejection. I'm not talking compromise. Is this making sense? I'm not talking about compromising Bible or truth or convictions. But you make it very clear. I love you. And here's the truth about the issue. It's unacceptable to me, or it's unacceptable to us. You never communicate that you're rejecting them. Rejection cuts the door off of reconciliation or repentance. Jesus, when he was reviled, think of it. This is our example. What did he do? He didn't revile in return. Can you imagine? When Jesus was getting beaten there in Jerusalem and his back was being laid open, people were spitting on him, the guards were smacking him in the face, the Bible says, with open palmed hands. That hurts. It's worse than a punch, is to get slapped like this. You can break someone's neck with a slap. Did you know that? Jesus didn't say a thing. The example that he gives us is to not revile. Now watch, we're going to land somewhere here in a moment. Jesus didn't revile back. Jesus could have been 100% justified. Jesus could have said, you know what? The guy that just hit me, I am the I am, and you're not. And that guy could have been vaporized right then on the spot. Did you know that? He could have done it. And the angels would have said, right on. Good shot, Jesus. He would have been justified. He didn't do it. See, you and I, we have this temptation to defend ourselves. Listen, a wise man said a long time ago, do not defend yourself. Let God defend you. Because if you defend yourself, God will let you. Let God defend you. Let God defend you. Jesus didn't revile. That's our example.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. Thanks for taking the time to spend with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Last January, I was talking to a friend of mine, a young guy, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, the older you get, the more, he's in his 30s. I said, the older you get, the faster the years go.
It's true.
And here we are in December. It was January 2 weeks ago, right?
Feels like it.
Let's just pray that God blesses us and that we serve him well in the new year.
Father, we do exactly what Davey is saying right now. Father, there's those here listening right now. They're on a plane. There are those driving. There's truckers that are heading across country right now. I would love to be able to see what you see right now, Father. Your people connecting together in this prayer all over this nation, if not further. We're coming before you and we're asking you, Lord, for mercy and for grace. As we put 1 year behind us and the new year before us, Lord, we want to do exactly what you want. Please do not let us, don't allow us, Lord, to live out your permissive will. We don't want to come close to living out your will. We want to have your perfect will done in our lives. So, Lord, if it's from the cockpit of an airplane to the cab of a 18-wheeler to a kid on a high school campus to parents in the kitchen right now on a Saturday morning, wherever this word finds them, we dedicate our lives to you, Lord, this year. We ask you to do with us things so radical, so amazing, so beyond us, that at next year or this year ending 12 months from now, that we would just say, isn't God great? So, Lord, we surrender happily.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.